Hi. We're going to have intro music one of these days, just so you guys know. We are soon. We'll see who it's from. Anyway, this is our episode with Chris Piasek. Chris is an illustrator. He does some fantastic cartoon drawings, animated drawings. You can find all of his stuff on the Instagram. The Instagram, like I'm 100 years old. It's just at Chris Piasek. Do not ask me how to spell it. We wrote it in the description. Chris is an awesome guy. He actually designed our logo. He did some work for GT Bikes. He's done some work for Stella Artois. He's done all kinds of... What are you saying?
Talking to your mic.
Talking? I am talking into my mic. All right. Well, apparently I'm not talking into... Oh, I don't have headphones. All right. Well, we're extremely professional here at the Out of Bounds podcast. Chris is the man. He's a super nice guy. Extremely talented. He's got some stuff going on right now. He's got a new illustrator series called Chats with Josh. Super, super funny. He's always doing daily drawings, a bunch of super creative work. He also does commissions and stuff. He, like I said, he designed our logo and it came out great. If you don't like our logo, then I don't know what.
Fuck you.
No. Are you on?
No.
Okay, good. All right. Ethan's out here saying bad stuff. All right. Anyway, this episode is sponsored by Wizard Pins. Wizard Pins is a company that makes fully custom pins. You send them your design. You can send them, have Chris make a design for you and then have it sent to Wizard Pins. That's fun. That's what we did, basically. And they make completely custom pins, coins, all kinds of stuff. You can find more information on their site or get a quote. It is just at Wizard Pins for social media or wizardpins.com. If you use promo code Out of Bounds, all caps, you can save 20% off of your purchase. They've got super low minimums. It's definitely a company worth checking out. There's our plug for Wizard Pins. Be sure to review and subscribe to the show if you don't already. Rate and review it, as I keep saying. Once I see as many downloads as we get reviews, then maybe I'll stop whining about it. But for right now, we appreciate you guys listening, and we hope you enjoy the show. We are here with Chris Piasek. What's up, Chris?
Not much. How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. So tell people what you do. I don't even know. What do you tell people that you do when they ask?
Sure. I just go by illustrator now. I have a design background. I worked as a designer for a few years, but I've been pretty much just illustration for the last 10 years, next month.
Yeah.
And I've been full-time on my own that whole time.
Huh.
So
what does it mean exactly to do, to be an illustrator?
Sure. Basically, I think of it as... I'm just drawing pictures, but sometimes they're a little more design-centric. Like, for example, when I did your logo.
Right.
Logo's really a design project, but I feel like I approach things as more of an illustrator where I'm creating images as opposed to
right.
design. And even the stuff that I do design is illustrated, meaning, I'm not using typefaces or anything. I'm drawing it all. So right. just I think about, even if there's words involved, I'm thinking of it as a drawing.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, you do a lot of, a lot of political cartoons too, mm-hmm. And that stuff, how does that stuff go over for you in the current political climate? Right. Because everybody yeah. seems to be super sensitive about everything. So
sure.
It's interesting that you're making these and they're fucking hilarious. So well, I thanks. Think you should keep doing that. I'm just curious, do you get good reactions from them? Do you get good feedback? What's that like?
So it's always been something I've done. I've always been drawn to politics and also thinking about it and social issues and stuff like that. I think it was from getting into punk rock really early on in my teens, and it was kind of really influential on me and made me think about that stuff. And so I've always done it, and I feel like it's different, but there's a little less blowback now because more people are vocal about it. I used to do it when it wasn't as many people thinking about it. Right. It didn't really affect their lives too much. So, but the feedback I get now that's negative is super negative. I get gnarly DMs or just horribly offensive comments, and I'll just delete them just because they're awful.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's fine.
Yeah. It is what it is. Everybody's entitled to an opinion, I guess. For sure. But
yeah. It's, yeah. I mean, I guess it, if I didn't do this stuff, maybe things, like maybe my career would be a little bigger. I don't know. I don't think it affects things because...
Yeah, if anything, I don't think it would affect it negatively. I think it probably affects it positively, you know, because it's like you go to a page. So like the people that liked your art and agree with you are then way more into your stuff, you know?
Yeah. What I mean is maybe like bigger clients might be scared.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But again, I've worked with big clients too, so
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe they just don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, and sometimes I think for a lot of companies, like it's more about the art directly than the, like you, everybody's entitled to an opinion, right? We just said that. So like they're probably just relating to the art and letting the opinion be the opinion, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows? But no, it's cool. I think it's interesting to see how it affects people. Cause it seemed, and like, I listened to a bunch of like comedy podcasts and like all that kind of stuff. And you see like everybody, it seems like everybody has a bit on Trump. Like everybody kind of just shits on Trump because it's there and it's relatable, I guess. So it's interesting to see where it kind of goes with everything, I guess, with art too.
Yeah, you know? It's hard to avoid it.
It is definitely hard to avoid it, I think. It's kind of does it to himself, I guess. So how long have you been doing the daily drawings?
I started at the end of 2007, so it's just about 11 years.
That's awesome. How, what's that like? Like sticking to doing something every single day for that long?
Yeah, I actually get asked that a lot because people think it's like super crazy, but to be honest, it's much harder at the beginning. Yeah. Like when people are like, oh, I tried to do a 30-day challenge and I couldn't make it through. A 30-day challenge is way harder than what I'm doing. Cause like after you've passed 30 and passed 100,
yeah,
it just gets easier. And like now it's just part of my routine. Like I don't really, like it's the past 11 years of my life I've been doing it. So it's like, it's just what I do.
Yeah.
So I don't think of it any differently. So it's not like, I think when you start off doing a daily project, you have to like make some changes to your day and like really,
right,
you know, change your life for it. And it's not like that for me. So it's just normal.
Right. How long does it actually take out of your day now?
Well, it's different. Sometimes coming up with ideas is the hardest part.
Yeah.
Sometimes with the political stuff, I'm like doing research, but, and sometimes it's quick. Sometimes it's just like a mindless doodle. So, it's always, almost always the last thing I do in the day.
Really?
So it's usually, you know, like ideally I do it in less than an hour, but sometimes it's a few if it's complicated.
Yeah.
It depends.
How much of what you do now is like commission, like making work for other people, for other companies, and how much of is just like free drawing?
Well, I mean, I make my living doing it for other like companies, clients, publishers. So I think of my daily drawing, well, I don't think they are. My daily drawings are my only source of marketing. So like that's how I go about getting work. So like putting out new drawings every day is like my advertising.
Okay.
So the majority of my day is doing client work, other kinds of projects like book projects, editorial, advertising stuff. It all feels like the same. All my work looks the same, whether it's client work or my daily drawings.
Yeah.
So.
What's the most exciting to you bit that you've done for somebody? Like
that's easy. I just finished working on a Cartoon Network commercial for their new 2019 shows.
Yep.
And they were kind of on the list of like dream clients.
Yeah.
So that was a really fun project, and it's cool seeing it on TV and stuff like that.
That's awesome. What was it? What in Cartoon Network was it for?
So they did a commercial that's like a minute long. It's like a preview for all their 2019 shows. So it's just like a montage. And I did all like the transitions between shows and like just like quotes and show titles that I like did lettering for.
That's awesome.
And little animation stuff.
Yeah. What else do you do beyond drawing? Because I guess there's a lot. There's got to be more. Like you got to do other stuff too, right? Like,
oh, so
what do you what do you enjoy to, like? What do you enjoy doing? What do you like to do?
Okay, well, outside of drawing, I've been riding BMX my whole life.
Cool.
And I also do ski.
Yep.
I do teach a class at the University of Hartford. I teach like a illustration business promotion class.
Cool. Very cool. How, like, are you into skiing, or did you just?
No, I'm pretty into it. Like, I have one of those Icon passes.
Oh, cool.
I haven't gone in like a couple weeks, but I had been going usually like once a week, twice a week.
That's awesome. If I had no idea. I knew you rode BMX bikes because I see it on Instagram and like that's a cool thing too. And that actually I wanted to talk to you about. Like how is it still riding BMX bikes into your 30s? Like, because that's something that I like having a BMX bike even now just to go fuck around on. But like,
yeah.
So is it more of that or are you like really, really into it?
No. I definitely have to take it easy.
Right.
I'm not as brave as I used to be. I basically do stuff that like I know I can do.
Yeah.
Like I ride often with a friend of mine who is the same age. So he's actually a little, he's 37, I'm 36. And he's still like, we'll just try things.
Yeah.
And just like fall a lot. Like we went to the skate park on Saturday and he was like doing stuff and falling and like, I'm like, I'm not trying. Like, yeah. I'm going to do stuff that, like, I can do. So I'm not as brave as I used to be, but, like, you know, I still get around a little bit. If I ride on a regular basis, I feel comfortable. But
right.
I'm certainly not, you know, at a very high level.
Yeah. No, it's just funny to see, like, because, like, it's one of those things that you do when you're younger and you never really let go of, even though, like... Yeah. Like, I get older guys, like, older guys, like, in their 50s and 60s in the shop all the time that still ride BMX bikes because it's, like, their escape from their regular jobs and stuff. So it's, like, it's just interesting to see that people are still riding them, you know?
Yeah, like, the guy who owns Standard Bike Company, Rick Montero, is pretty sure is in his late 50s, I think.
Yeah.
And he, like, still shreds, and it's crazy to me because, like, I start feeling bad about myself and feeling old, and then he'll post a video, and I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah. I think that's what happens, though, right? Is, like, everybody starts to feel that way, and then they see somebody else older, and like, yeah, I can keep doing this, I guess. Like,
I think the key is just if you don't stop. Like, if you don't have periods of downtime.
Yeah.
Like, I think for me, if I don't do it for, like, a year, I might be done.
Yeah.
Like, if I just keep doing it a little bit, I can keep going.
Yeah. I think that's a fair way to look at it. Like, there's a lot to it.
Or even Matt Hoffman is super old.
He's super old. He's like 100, but I mean,
and he's
like,
doing like 20-foot airs like every day,
yeah.
Just posting it on Instagram. And I'm like, you are crazy.
Sometimes it's crazy to me that people over the age of 40 even use Instagram. Is that weird? Like, when my dad made an Instagram, like, I don't even know if he used it. No, my mom made an Instagram account and I don't think they use it, but it's like, it's just weird to me when parents start making Instagram. Like, I feel like that happened with Facebook too, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
Where your parents started being on Facebook and then you're like, what is happening? Like, and then and that's when it started to turn. Yeah. I don't know. It was weird, but it's, I don't know where I'm even going with this, but like the point is like Instagram seems to be growing and growing and growing, right? Like, how do you feel about the whole social media thing? Like, you do pretty well on social media, but
yeah.
Do you like social media? Do you hate social media?
No, I mean, I like social media. I pretty much owe my whole career to...
Yeah.
Like, that's how people find me.
Yeah.
To do work.
That's how I... Yeah.
It is a little weird about how it's growing. Like, there's... I used to not really think about things I would post, especially... But...
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, Instagram is still fine. I mean, like, if... I don't know. I can't think of an example, but like now my wife's grandmother is on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't follow that many people because she doesn't know that many people. So everything that I post, she sees, all my stories, she sees, and she responds to all of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's great. I appreciate the support, but then I'm like, I need to make sure that I don't look like a jerk to her grandmother.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. So. It's weird. Yeah, it's weird how connected you are all the time now.
Yeah.
It's one of the craziest things I think to me is like that you're always at somebody's fingertips pretty much now.
Yeah.
You know? And like I just turned off our like online thing. So you can see, you know, a little green thing, green circle around your profile or whatever that shows that you're online. Like I just turned it like off now so that people don't know that I'm online and like feel like I need to respond to them immediately.
Because
sometimes I don't want to respond like within 2 seconds. Like I get that shit. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a weird thing, man.
Definitely.
How have you grown your Instagram following though? Like, I mean, that's one of the things, right, that people always want to do is like, how can I get a bigger Instagram following? What have you found that works
for you? I think for me, it's just because I post every day.
Yeah.
And it's like consistent. People expect it. So every now and then, something like will get more attention and then it'll kind of get passed around. And, I think it's just been like a slow organic growth. I don't know how. I know some people just have like huge spikes, and mine has just been slowly over time. It's just like grown incrementally.
Yeah, that's probably the right way to do it, though. I mean, because then it's just, and you're not buying followers. You're not worrying about a bunch of ads. Like it's like you, like you said, you are your own ad, I guess. You know. And the work kind of, I guess, speaks for itself. And actually, I know I said, like, I heard of you from Instagram, but it's not entirely true. Like, I think you did the seats on some GT bikes.
Yeah.
And that's one of the ones that we were selling. So I saw that, and then I scrolled through, my Explore page, and I saw your stuff. And then I, like, kind of put two and two together, cool. Like, it's kind of a weird thing. What was it like working with GT?
That was awesome. It was kind of surreal because, like, I remember being a really young kid and, like, wanting a GT really bad and, like, getting a general because my family couldn't afford a GT.
Right.
But it was awesome. One of my friends is the head product designer there now.
Cool.
That's why GT has like turned around in recent years and getting awesome, has a good team.
Yeah.
It sort of was like started out just sort of like working with him. And then I've after that, like done some t-shirt designs for them and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's sort of a small operation, especially on the BMX side of things. So it was kind of cool going there and just like, this is everyone who's doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the guy that runs this. This is the guy that, it's kind of cool with a lot of companies like that though. Right.
For sure.
Like a lot of companies you think are huge from the outside, you walk in and it's like, a couple people, you know, like it's interesting for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Ski industry's like that a lot too, though, you know?
Yeah.
Like
I imagine.
It's a lot like, oh, we're a huge company. And then really it's like two guys, three guys and a girl that make all the decisions for the whole company. You know, it's just, it's interesting the way people look at it from the outside, especially like we've got the outdoor retailer show this week, which is like everybody just kind of goes together from all the brands in winter sports. And it's cool, but like that's everybody is right there, you know, like everybody that's involved in the industry is in that room during that time pretty much. And that's, I don't see that with basketball, you know, I don't see that with any other sports, you know, so it kind of speaks to how small the industry is in a way. So.
Yeah. The past, like, I think it's maybe my third year where I've like actually been into skiing. I never, like I skied a handful of times before that and I've like gotten into it and I wish I kind of got into it sooner, but, it's cool. And I'm definitely enjoying it, but I'm like also, I've spent way too much money. Like I've had like four different sets of skis because like I like can't. I'm like, no, this isn't right.
And like, are you like that with a lot of like? Because a lot of times artists are like that, right? Where they're super picky about the things that they and they don't like. Are you like that in other things too?
Yeah, I obsess with that. Oh yeah. So another thing that I forget about because it's like winter, but I'm really into like autocross and like track racing too. So that's one thing. But thinking about being obsessive about stuff. Just like little details about like, oh, this needs to be changed the tiniest bit.
And yeah.
I think it's more of just making excuses for my shortcomings. But
But
I definitely get hyper-focused on stupid details.
It's interesting because like I think I'm in a lot of ways the worst nightmare for someone that's like that, because he's kind of like that too. And I'm like the least organized person. Like I fucking pull shit like off my hip all the time. Like it doesn't make any real sense. So like it's interesting to hear that mindset to me, because it's just most of the time I'm just like, it's fucking fine, just leave it alone. But that's why like when I don't know how to do shit like this, like doing our logo, like somebody like you that actually is going to pay attention to the details probably makes more sense. So it's, I guess you just gotta put people in the right—
Adam's a skier.
Positions,
a real skier.
I ski, yeah.
I'm ski bum, late all the time. Kind of makes decisions last second. Doesn't tell anybody.
We planned. I did a good job planning, like, you know, what time and everything like that. Like, I didn't do that many details.
I find out that podcasts have to be posted from Instagram.
Usually, like, I'll post, it's coming out tomorrow, and he's like, oh, fucking great. Thanks, dude.
Yeah,
like,
it's
phenomenal. So, yeah, it's interesting. But how often do you actually have to deal like with working with different kinds of personalities like that, though? Because most of the time you're just doing your own art. Like what you do is kind of, in a way, your decision, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it depends on the client.
Right.
Especially with bigger companies, there's like so many people who need to have their say.
Right.
And like go through like different levels of approval.
Yeah.
It's actually way easier now as an illustrator. As a designer, it was worse because I think, because people can sort of talk a little bit about things. Like they know words like font. and they can say change the font so they feel like they did something.
Yeah.
But with illustration, it sort of seems like magic to some people, or it's just like a drawing. Yeah. So they're just like, cool. So that's something I definitely appreciate, because there's less pushback on a lot of stuff.
Yeah. How often do you have to do that? Like, you go and how often do you have something that you're psyched about and then they're not psyched about, you know? Because that's got to be part of the struggle, right?
Yeah. I mean, luckily it doesn't happen that much anymore. I remember in the past, like, if I said I was going to do, like, three options for something, right, I would just, like, have one that I really liked and then another one that was okay. And then I'd be like, oh, I don't want to do another one. And I would, like, just do something to do it. And then they would always pick that one.
Yeah.
So I try not to do that anymore.
I imagine over time you've kind of gotten better at the process of it, too, though,
right? Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a lot less... I can sort of expect where things are going to go. And,
right.
And I'm more, like, confident with, like, you know, pushing back or explaining why I think
right,
the right decision or something like that.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, that kind of should... I tend to defer to whoever, like, I'm asking to do the work, kind of, you know? Because, like, I don't fucking know what people like. Like, I think I know what I like, and that's probably not super consistent with what most of the people like. So it's got to be weird, I guess. I don't know. Like, with this, it was just like, yeah, it looks fucking sick. Like, I don't need, like, that's it. Like, it's all good. Just
yeah, you're easy to work with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, but it's, because, like, I know what I like, and if I don't like it, I'll tell you. But most of the time, I'm just like, yeah, it seems right. Like, I don't know. It seems good. It's,
How'd you come up with our logo? I was curious about that. Did you give any input?
I sent some parameters on the first one, but not this one.
Well,
that one you kind of came up with, I think, on your own, right?
Sort of, but I mean, you told me like the little alien idea.
Yeah, I did that part. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. So then I was like, okay, well, you know, what do like skiing and like biking and stuff have in common? Jumps and stuff like that. So I'm like, well, what if it was like a UFO hitting a jump?
Yeah, this is my favorite one. Like, I like the one that I was thinking of was like the little alien one. And I tried to draw it, dude, and it looks like it doesn't look like anything. So it's like, that's why I was saying, like, as soon as I had the idea for the logo, I was like, okay, we need to get a logo. This makes sense in my head. Somebody needs to draw it, because I can't figure this thing out, like, no matter what I do. So
yeah, I mean, and to me, this is just sort of a small step from your idea. Like, I feel like it's the same idea. It's just a different way to approach it.
Yeah. See, and like, to me, it's like,
I like that thing. That's sick. I mean, have you seen we usually live stream. We're having an issue where this computer is knocked out.
No, I haven't seen the live stream.
So we kind of animated the arm a little bit.
Oh, cool.
So he's kind of like rocking, but that,
nice.
That logo's, I think a lot better than the sign. We've only used the sign in a couple places.
The what?
The one with the sign.
Oh, yeah, like, we have some stickers and stuff, and, like, there's going to be, it's on the front, it's on the back of the t-shirts that we did, like, so we've used it, and, like,
cool,
that one's cool, but, yeah, anyway, it's fucking cool. How'd you get into doing it? Like, because that's kind of a random thing to get, I guess everything's kind of random to get into, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I was always into drawing. Like, I drew all the time when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And, I would, like, take apart album packaging around the house and, like, redraw new stuff.
Really?
And then I think my uncle was like, oh, you're going to be a graphic artist one day. And I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
And it, like, blew my mind to find out that that could be, like, a job.
Yeah.
Because I just, like, knew my parents, like, worked at the post office. And I'm like,
right,
did you tell my parents that they could do this instead of that? Like, I couldn't understand it because I was an idiot because I was a little kid. But, like, from then on out, it was like, I'm going to be a graphic artist. That's all. Like, I can't not do that. So
right.
I went to art school and became a graphic designer. And I was working as a designer for, like, 4 years. And, like, 2 years into that, I got kind of freaked out because I wasn't drawing anymore. The only drawing I was doing was just, like, sketches for design stuff. And for me to, like, ever do anything, I have to trick myself. So I was like, I'm going to do a drawing every day. So I, like, told some friends that I was going to do it, and that was like enough of a commitment. So I would like do a drawing and post it online. And after about a year of doing that, I started getting commissions based on those drawings. And then another year after that, I was full-time freelance on my own doing just illustration.
Sick. That's awesome. I mean, do you work on a schedule? Like, that's the thing that I don't really get. Like, do you like, I know you report back to, like, and you're going to send the designs in when you're working for someone or you're doing commissions, right? But, like, how do you manage your day? Because if like somebody told me that I had like this big open block of time and I just had to get work done in it, I don't know how I'd function.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not right for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it the other day for the class I teach, since it's like about the business of illustration.
Yeah.
And most illustrators are freelancers.
Yeah.
And I was like, it occurred to me that if you want to be a freelance illustrator, you need to... There's like one key thing I think, and it's like, what would you be doing if you didn't have any work?
Yeah.
And for me, I would be drawing and illustrating. And that's kind of crucial because you have to be doing personal work as an illustrator so that, because it's sort of like doing new pieces and putting them out there is sort of like, it's almost like farming sort of, where you're like planting the crops. And then you start to, when that work gets seen, you get work based on that work, and it's sort of like harvesting the crop, sort of.
Right.
And if you don't do that, you'll only be getting work based on the stuff that you did before, and then it'll sort of get stagnant and you won't grow and expand.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know, but that's went off on a tangent.
That's okay.
But basically, I really like drawing. I like doing illustration. So like want to do it. And, I don't have a good schedule. I work like different times. I have no set schedule. It's one of my favorite things about being a freelancer. So, I'll maybe not do anything till the evening, but then I'll work from like 5 o'clock until like 1.
Yeah.
Cause I like to work at night, and, I don't know. It's different. Some days I'll work all day. Some days I won't work.
Yeah.
I just know if I have a deadline with the client, like I'll do that. But whenever in between.
Huh.
I don't know. I like not having a schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I don't know. I really don't know if I'd like it or not like it. Like in a way,
I think you need some structure. Some people need structure.
Kind of structure, like for sure. Like, because otherwise I'm just like, oh my God, there's so many things to do. Like it's so like, there's just so much work everywhere. And like, that would be overwhelming is the wrong word. I think overexciting, like, cause I really like working like that. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the shit out of working, like learning new things, like practicing new shit, like learning how, every time I learn how to like fit a boot a different way or like do a different punch or like do some creative shit like within that realm, it's great. But if I was just like forced to not like forced to just go, I don't know, if I had an open schedule, I'd probably fucking go skiing every day.
Well, there is the negative side of it too, where it's like I never feel like I can fully relax. Yeah. Like I never like do nothing.
Yeah.
Because I always feel like I either need to work or I need to take advantage of the fact that I'm not working and do some other stuff that like I want to do.
Right.
Or it's like always feeling a little bit guilty for not working.
Right.
So I never really ever have a day off. Like I'm always, like I still work on the weekends for sure. And
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it sounds like it's less about work for you. Like it's like you enjoy doing it.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, some stuff gets tedious or annoying.
For sure.
For the most part. And even the tedious, annoying stuff, when I'm actually doing the drawing part of it, it's fine. Like that, yeah. It's just like if I have like an annoying client or it's confusing or just like I'm really bad with like the emailing side of things, and like invoices and paperwork, all that stuff is just the worst thing on earth for me.
Yeah, I hate that shit too. Like that, I definitely couldn't do it. I'd like, honestly, I'd end up like probably never getting paid because I'd forget to.
I'm sure that's happened to me before. It used to happen more in the past, but I had to like make a system where like when I make an invoice, I like put it in a folder that's like unpaid invoices, and then I delete them when I get paid.
Yeah.
Because before there was definitely times where I was like, I don't know if I got paid for that, and it had been too long for me to like
look back. Yeah.
And then I couldn't like ask like, hey.
Yeah. Hey, did you pay me? Yeah. Like, so what are they gonna say? They're gonna be like, either A, you're an idiot, or B, like. Yeah, sure. You know, like, and they may not have, you know?
So I'm sure that's happened before.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, man.
But it's awesome to be able to go skiing or like riding my bike on like a weekday when it's not busy.
Oh yeah, that's the best part for sure.
Yeah.
Like that's, because like I work kind of on a schedule, but I pick my schedule. Like I decide what days I'm off. Like off still means I'm doing this. This is a day off for me, and this is what I do. So,
yeah.
But Yeah, it's nice going during the week for sure, man. Like if I had to go weekends only, I don't think. Yeah,
especially for me, because like
a new sport.
I can't deal with like I like want to go in the parks, but if there's like a bunch of like teenagers just like hanging out, like hiking back up. I'm not gonna try to do this rail while all these kids are sitting there.
Eat shit, and they're all just like
picking
on you in the park. That's what they do. They love it. They do. Shout out to Corinthia because that's
yelling from the lifts.
Yeah, that's all they do.
I can't stand parks that are under the lifts.
Oh,
man. Like crazy. I'm like, why does it have to be here?
It is definitely intimidating. Like, and I guess at some point you just kind of have to be like, well, fuck it. Everybody's going to point and laugh or whatever.
Yeah, and I don't know why I care at this point.
I don't know either.
I'm like why do I care what these teenagers think?
I shouldn't either. Yeah, I mean, it's like, what are we doing here? But
I know, it drives me crazy.
It's because it's like that little mini mob mentality that they have going on. They're just like, it's just a big group of fucking...
Yeah.
And they roll up in a group of like 20 or some shit. Like it always seems... And it's probably 20 different kids, but it seems like they roll up in groups. So
yeah,
it's a funny thing, man. But yeah, maybe they'll move some parks.
So you do digital illustrations, obviously. Do you do any other mediums like paintwork? Anything like that?
I'm just curious. Once in a while. So like the only reason I work digitally is out of convenience. Like I still work the same way that I used to work. My work that was analog looks exactly the same. Like, you know, I've only been digital for like the past 2.5 years, but like my work hasn't changed. So it's just sort of like a convenience thing. And, the technology has come so far that like the brushes, you can get digital brushes that are like so much like exactly they work just the way other stuff works. Like I don't do much watercolor stuff, but like watercolor brushes where like you use them and they like bleed into the other inks and stuff like that. And you can like reactivate them.
It's
So it's sort of just like a convenience factor for me.
Do you think there's a lot more people that are going to start going that way and just doing stuff digitally because of how good that stuff is?
It's already happened. Like,
really?
I think most professional illustrators are working digitally.
Yeah.
Just because it's so much easier, and especially like if you have to do some revisions or something.
Right.
It's so much easier.
Right.
That's scalability of it, and especially for print use. And
yeah. Or if you're sending people copies and stuff, like it's right.
Getting die cut stickers made.
Yeah. I guess it's all pretty.
And I mean, even if you work traditionally, you still have to send a digital file. So you still have to deal with all like the scanning, or if it's like big, you have to have it like photographed. So
right, yeah. Why? So do you ever do any of your artwork like on stickers or like stuff that you sell off on the side, kinda, or is that like another step that you don't usually do?
Well, so like I have a web shop where I have like
stickers,
that's kinda patches, what I'm getting at. Books, prints, stuff like that.
Cool. How long have you been doing that? And is that like worth it? Because that's the thing that I always kind of battle with is like, is it worth going through and making all this stuff? Like, so is it good for you, or do you just like having some physical?
It's a little bit of both. Like, I do like having physical, but, you know, I do get a decent amount of sales. It's not huge. I don't push it that much. So I think, like, if I committed to it and, like, you know, talked more about it, it would be better. But I've had it there since, like, you know, since I started.
Yeah.
And I've always had something like when I did reach 1,000 drawings, I did a book of the first 1,000, and then at 2,000 I did another book, and then when I did 10 years I did a book of like my favorites over 10 years. So like I have books on there, so it's just like having them available. And a lot of stuff I do, like patches or pins or stickers or even the books, I use as promotional material to like send to clients. So, you know,
that makes sense,
serves multiple purposes.
What's the website called?
It is, there's just like a shop link on crispyassic.com that has a separate URL, which is pyassic.com.
Why is it pyassic?
It was like sort of a joke on like how to
pronounce
it.
Yeah.
And then, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it is funny. It's actually, and I didn't even get it when you were first saying it out like that at first.
Yeah. It used to just be like my name and then like dot shop or something.
Dot shop, yeah.
But my wife's also an illustrator, so we started like having some of her stuff on there, and we do stuff together sometimes. So we just changed it to PSX since it covers both of us.
Right. Well, there you go. That's fucking cool, man. It's an interesting It's an interesting gig for sure. What about this? Is it like an animated show? How do you describe it? The thing that you're starting.
It's definitely like an animated talk show.
Yeah. So tell people a little bit about that. I guess what are you doing? Sure. What's the plan?
The show's called Chats with Josh. Yeah. So I had the idea because my friend Josh Lafayette. So he's like recorded himself doing these like weird characters.
Yeah.
And he started doing it when Vine was around.
Yeah.
That app. So he would just like do these like crazy voices and stuff like that. And he ended up moving to Atlanta, and he was like got a job where he's in like rush hour traffic all the time. So he started doing it like on Instagram, just like these voices, just to like make deal his boredom. And Adobe came out with this software called Character Animator.
Yep.
And it makes this kind of thing way easier. So you can like build a puppet, and then you can record and like it'll lip sync.
Yeah.
And you can like control the movement, so you're not manually animating the show.
Right.
So that made it like really feasible to do this. And I was like, what if like we have a talk show where it's supposed to be you and I talking, but you like you never show up. And then we always have to like satellite in a guest speaker.
Right.
And that worked out really well because he's in Atlanta now, so we can't like record together. So it's just like this pop-up window, and he like records his character, and then I just like put them together. So we're supposed to like talk about some sort of topic each show, and then he doesn't show up, and then we get like a guest, and it's him like doing some crazy character.
Yeah.
But there's just silly, weird conversations.
It is really funny. Do you have like a plan to grow it at all? Like, or are you just like, it's just a thing you're doing for fun right now?
Yeah. I mean, we're trying to see how it goes.
I
just posted the fifth episode this morning.
Yep.
So we've been doing them once a week, posting them on Mondays. And I think we're going to keep trying to do that. It's actually been really easy for us to do because, we've like recorded them on the first take the past 4 times.
Yeah.
So it's just like, we can just record it in like 20 minutes, and then it doesn't take me that long to make the show because I already have the puppets built.
Right.
And when we have a new character, I sort of just modify the puppet I already have.
It's right.
It's like a skin sort of. It's weird when it's a person, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not that much work.
Cool. Yeah. It's a cool thing, man. Like I don't know. A lot of this illustration stuff, it's like so beyond my scope of like understanding how this shit works. Cause like, I don't get like how the puppet, I don't know. Like I can't even like, it's not feasible to even, I don't know, figure it out in my head. It's an interesting thing, man.
Yeah. It's basically just, you make the character and then there's like several different mouth movements that are assigned to sounds. And then you just make those in the file and then it like syncs them up.
Huh?
Where do people find that show?
You can get the link from my website or just go to YouTube and search Chats with Josh.
Huh. Sick. Awesome. Well, anything else you have coming up that you want to talk about? Where can people find you on social media and online?
It's all under my name, which is Chris Piasek, ChrisPiasick. That's Instagram. ChrisPiasek.com is my website, and Twitter, wherever else.
Sick. Awesome. Thanks for doing this, dude.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was our episode with Chris Piasek. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Chris is a great guy, and he does some awesome, awesome artwork. So definitely check his stuff out. And let us know if you want to see more of these type of shows, for sure, with different people outside of the ski world. We are trying to expand our horizons a little bit so we can, I don't know, just talk to interesting people all the time. I actually didn't even know Chris skied, but look at that. We made it all connect somehow. Find him on social media at Chris Piasek. ChrisPiasek.com is the website. Follow us on social media. It's at Out of Podcast, outofpodcast.com. And we are also available on Spotify, obviously. I think I'm getting a cold. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we'll talk to you soon.